touch Luke chapter 4 tonight. We want to look at some verses here with God's help, and we need the Lord's help tonight. But I want to talk about Jesus tonight. Praise God. I'm telling some, I said, if you ever have a problem about anyone and you need to talk about anything, talk about Jesus. You know, we can't ever go wrong talking about the Lord. But you know, God is a good God. In Luke chapter 4, I'm going to look at verse 20, and then I'm going back up here and go over these other verses with God's help tonight, just kind of go through them. But Luke chapter 20 says he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And you know, I just want to look at this tonight, thinking about this, and I'll probably get off of this subject tonight. But I want us to think about getting our eyes upon Jesus and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing what he can do in our life. I thought about Jesus at one time when there was a woman in the temple that was all bent over or in their synagogue, and she had been that way for 18 years. And you know, Jesus, he healed her and set her free, and she was straightened up. And you know, he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed? You know, from what Satan had done for her all of those years. Now, I'm sitting here thinking tonight a little bit, you know, there'd be a good message there that, you know, Jesus was just getting tired of what the devil's doing to God's people. You know, we ought to be tired tonight what the devil's doing in the lives of our families and even in our own lives. You may be seated tonight. But, you know, we ought to get tired of what the devil's doing. We're serving one that can take care of every problem we've got tonight. Jesus can handle the things that we can't. When you look at chapter 4 of Luke, if you look at verse 1, the Bible said Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there he went to be tempted by the devil. And you know, he went in there full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is not a weak Savior tonight. We make him weak. We limit God by the way we think. And we look at things and we think the problems and things that we have in our life are bigger than God. And you know, we get all down. We get the molly grubs. We get discouraged. We get depressed. And we get oppressed and everything else. And we just get whipped by the problem. And we let the devil whip us many times. And you know, we go around defeated. We don't have to go around defeated, church. We're serving a risen Savior. We're serving one that the Bible says here is full of the Holy Ghost. But when you look at verse 14, I want to start there. And it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And you know, it says that he returned from the wilderness. He didn't come out of the wilderness of temptation defeated, but he defeated the devil while he was there. And when he came back to Galilee, the Bible says he returns up to Galilee. He comes back to go about his ministry, and he comes back and he's in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost power, that power that Jesus said that we would receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon us. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. The word began to get out about this Savior. The word began to get out of what Jesus could do, his power, his ability, his authority over the devils, and what he had, that authority in the wilderness over the devil. And he goes into the synagogues. Look at verse 15. Follow along with me tonight. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. You know, he goes in and begins to teach them. You know, we need to be taught. It's okay to have preaching. We ought to have the word preached, and we ought to have the song sung and all the other things that goes along with worship. But you know, we need to let the Lord teach us every once in a while. And when he teaches us something, we need to be good learners. We need need to be attentive learners. We need to listen to what the Lord is saying, what He says in His Word, and what God teaches us in the church as we come together. You know, teaching is just a little bit slower and slowed down than what preaching is. You know, we get preaching, we get happy, we get shouting. Sometimes we get bouncing and jumping around. And you know, we get all happy, and that's all right to do that. But you know, we need to be taught the Word, and we need to learn some things about this Savior. And you know, we need to take what we've learned, just as a school child will take what they learn in school, and they'll begin to put it to work in their life to improve their life. We ought to put to work what we learn about Jesus in this spiritual walk and in this spiritual battle, and not let the devil beat us down all the time. Not walk around, you know, with our heads hanging low. But you know, we ought to do as Sister Bear, I think she mentioned the other night. We ought to resist the devil, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil. And if anybody's going to flee, let him do the fleeing in the name of Jesus. You see, we're serving a mighty God. We're serving a risen Savior. And we need to learn all that we can and more about Jesus. You know, when we leave the classroom and leave our Sunday school and we go outside of the church, we ought to get in the Bible ourselves and begin to listen and see what the Lord is saying to us. You see, teaching doesn't stop in the when we leave here. But you know, I believe we can learn something about the Lord when we're on our job. I believe we can learn something about the Lord, praise God, as we're driving down the road. Hallelujah. We can learn about Jesus wherever we are. You know, we ought to learn about the Lord when we're going through the trials of life, when we're in the valleys, when the devil comes against us. We ought to learn something about the Lord as we do submit ourselves to God, that we can see the devil backing off and backing down. He might make his threats, but let me tell you, it only takes one word from the Savior. It only takes one word from the lips of Jesus to put the devil, praise God, in that running mode. Hallelujah. We're on the winning side tonight. We are not defeated, church. We ought to get mad at this devil tonight. We ought to get mad at what he does. My Lord, I don't want to go around one minute being up on top and the next minute hanging down and being mully-grubbed and defeated. I want this old time salvation to work every day in my life, everywhere I go. Hallelujah. Whatever I'm doing, whatever valley or problem that I'm in, I want to know that Jesus, hallelujah, is with me, and He'll see me through everything that I'm going through. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, we need to get our eyes back upon the Lord. Let me go on here. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Now, I want you to look at what Jesus does here. And it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You know, we ought to follow the custom and the example of Jesus. You know, we ought to be in church every opportunity that the doors are open. My Lord, we shouldn't give the devil a chance to climb on our back and ride us to the ground. We ought to throw him off and say, no, devil, you're not going to defeat me. We ought to pick up the custom of Jesus. And said, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When we come to church, oh, we ought to have the Bible. We ought to have the Word of God. We don't need something else beside the Word. It is the Word that will cause the devil to tremble. It is the Word of God that will make us strong to be able to stand and to defeat Satan in every battle that we go through. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to preach this tonight. I don't care if the devil likes it or not. I know that he's on a rampage. I know what he is doing. I know his devices. I know how he works. I know that he is working on some of you tonight. I know that he doesn't want you to know what Jesus can do in your life. But my God, I'm going to resist him. I'm going to fight him every step of the way. My Lord, if it takes my last breath, my God, I want to see the devil put to flight and God's people have victory tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And says, he took the book and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And I want to look at a few of these things tonight. First of all, I want to look at what Jesus was saying and how that he was confirming this in that little synagogue that day. He wasn't in the temple. He wasn't in some big place standing up for everybody to see him. He was in a little synagogue that day announcing that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Church, we don't have to be in some big fancy church tonight to have God bless us. We don't have to be where they've got the big bands and every note and every tune, praise God, is just all in harmony. But we can be right here, hallelujah, tonight. And Jesus will be with us tonight. Hallelujah. And he found that place. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." I'm going to give you what God gave me. Isaiah says this. You know, he says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." My God, and said, "A branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." I want you to hear what this Spirit of the Lord does for Jesus, and what part it plays in his life. This same Holy Spirit power can do the same in your life and in my life tonight. Jesus, praise God, has the Spirit of the Lord in his life tonight. My Lord, why are you so quiet? Why are we so bound tonight? You see, the devil's a liar. And the devil doesn't want us to have victory. The devil doesn't want us to shout and praise and to lift up holy hands. He wants us to walk around defeated. He don't want God's people to enjoy the salvation of the Lord. He don't want them to enjoy the fellowship of Jesus. But all we ought to enjoy every bit of it tonight. Hallelujah. He's our Savior tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, he said, "The Spirit of counsel and of might is upon him. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Praise God. You know, when we need something from the Lord, we can go to him and we can find the counsel. Praise God. We can talk our problems over with him instead of complaining about everything and letting the devil beat us down. I believe we can get on our knees and tell Jesus everything. Hallelujah. We can cast every care upon him. Hallelujah. He cares about us tonight. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, "And behold, whom I uphold mine own elect, in whom my soul delighteth, says, I have put my Spirit upon him." Praise God. You know, God put his Spirit upon him. I remember old John the Baptist one day along the Jordan River, and here comes Jesus, and John looks up and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He seen Jesus walking
to where he was. He said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Aren't you glad that he takes your sins away? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus came to John to be baptized of him. And John said, I have need to be baptized of you. And you come to me. But oh, you know, Jesus went down into the water with John. And the Bible says John took him. And as he came up out of the water, the Bible said the heavens were open. And all the Spirit of the Lord began to descend from heaven like a dove. And it lighted upon Jesus. You see, he's anointed with the Spirit of God tonight. There's no devil in hell. There's no power, praise God, that is too strong for our Savior tonight. Hallelujah. We are on the winning side. He leads us not only into every battle, but he leads us out the other side with victory tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Jesus said, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Oh, I'm so glad that he come to preach the gospel to the poor. I am not a rich man tonight. You know, I'm a little better off than what I was when we started out in this walk for the Lord. Oh, you know, God's blessed every one of us, and we're not like we used to be, and God's been good to us. But I'm so glad that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor tonight. Oh, you know, it bothers me when I hear of these singing groups that go around, and they've got to charge so much for somebody to get in and to hear them sing the gospel. My God, what if Jesus would put a price on the gospel tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that he preaches it freely tonight. Hallelujah. This gospel, oh, of good news. I'm getting a little better now. Oh, you see, praise God. The devil don't like us tonight, church. And he don't want us to hear the gospel. The gospel is not just a message of you're going to die and go to hell. The gospel's not a message that, brother, you got to quit doing this and you got to quit doing that. Oh, we know that we need to do those things. And we know that if we're lost, we're going to die and go to hell. But the gospel is the good news to say to all of us, rich or poor, praise God, young or old, that there's hope in Jesus. It doesn't make any difference what we're doing. When the gospel message comes, hallelujah, it is news that Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Jesus still saves tonight. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil says. Jesus still saves tonight. He said he called me or anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He says he's come and he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, there's so many tonight that are walking around with their hearts troubled tonight. There's so many that the devil has brought the turmoil into their homes. There's homes that are broken. There's families that are divided. There's young people and men and women that are on drugs and alcohol tonight. And sometimes mom and dad or brother or sister, their heart is broken by the sin and the effects of sin. But Jesus said, I've come. Hallelujah. I've come with the message for every one of them. I've come to preach a gospel that can reach in to a heart that is crushed and touch that heart. Hallelujah. And bring peace to that heart again. Hallelujah. Church, there's so many. I told somebody recently, I said, sometimes the problem with us as Christians, We go tell everybody what we don't believe in. We go tell them, oh, you know, I don't believe dressing like the world. I don't believe in smoking and drinking and cussing and carousing and doing all of these other things. I don't believe in those things. You know, we don't believe in those things. But why we're so busy telling them what we don't believe in, we're failing to tell them of who that we do believe in. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes, I know we can't ignore the negative, but sometimes we're focused on that. Sometimes we look at our children and we look and see what they're doing. We look at our families. We look at the husband or the wife. And many will look at them and see maybe the bad habit or the sin in their life. And many times we'll go to them and we'll point out every bad thing that they're doing. Don't you think they know they're doing wrong? Don't you think they already know that they shouldn't be doing some of the things that they're doing? But we ought to point them to one, hallelujah, that can offer them something better than what this world offers them. One that can give them peace. One that they can serve Him, hallelujah, and find some a pleasure in serving the Lord. You see, the pleasure is not in the sin, but there's pleasure in serving God tonight. I enjoy being a Christian. I enjoy serving God. I enjoy feeling the presence of the Lord. I enjoy making the devil mad at me. I don't care if he gets mad or not. I'll just roll that thing up. Praise God. You know, praise God, I don't care if he gets mad at me. I don't care if he comes against me. Praise God, as long as I know that I'm doing something right and I'm touching some heart and I'm touching some life in the name of Jesus, and I'm pointing out every trick of the devil so that they can avoid his traps and his pitfalls. Hallelujah. Let him get mad all he wants. Hallelujah. Praise God, if we can reach one soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It'll be worth it all. Sister, if we can touch just one family member and see them come to the Lord. Oh, you know, we want to grab them all. We'd like to just reach out and grab this one and grab that one and drag them all in. Wouldn't you like to do that? You know, I'd love to be able to pull my family in, but if I can just see them come to the Lord one by one, I'll be happy. Praise God, to know what God can do in their life. Let me go on here. He's come to help me, or to set me to heal the brokenhearted. You know, the Bible goes on and talks about some things there, how that Jesus would deal with the devils and how that he would go to Peter's mother-in-law and heal her. But you know, the Bible also says this, and Jesus went about all Galilee. You know, he went everywhere teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and all healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Praise God, you talking about people having their hearts mended and having broken hearts fixed and healed. When a mother could look at a son that was laying there on the casket and headed for the graveyard, and Jesus would come along and stop it and raise that young man, praise God, to life again. You talking about a broken heart being healed. Or that mother that would bring, come to Jesus for her daughter, that she would say, my daughter, you know, she's being vexed by a devil. And Jesus would just give her the word, hallelujah, and that daughter be healed. You talking about hearts being fixed and hearts being healed. Hallelujah. Just to know that God is doing those things. Hallelujah. To heal the brokenhearted. Oh, you see, it's not always the person that he touches that has the broken heart. It might be the one that needs the healing, and the broken heart is in your life because it's your son, it's your daughter, it's your family member, it's your friend, and the Lord reaches out and touches them, and all somehow by touching them, the healing comes to your heart. Oh, hallelujah. And that broken heart is no longer broken. That heart has been fixed because Jesus has been anointed to heal the brokenhearted tonight. Is your heart heavy tonight? Are you carrying a burden tonight? Is there something troubling you tonight? Are you pressed down tonight? Give it to Jesus. Turn it over to Jesus and He'll heal that broken heart. Hallelujah. Don't carry it alone. Don't try to handle the problems of life by yourself. My Lord, you know, we get so proud. And sometimes we just don't want to admit that we need help. We don't want to admit that we need God's help. Or sometimes we need help from one another. And we carry that excess weight. And it burdens us down. When Jesus said, I've come. He says He sent me to heal the broken heart. You know, God sent Jesus not simply to die on the cross and to save us from sin. We cut short what He can do in our life. We limit what He wants to do in our life because we think being saved is it and there's nothing else. Let me tell you something. There's more to this life, praise God, than just confessing our sins. I believe we've got a Savior, hallelujah, that'll walk with us. I believe we've got one, hallelujah, that'll heal us, that'll strengthen us, that'll be with us, that'll encourage us, that'll lift us up when we're down. Hallelujah. Oh, don't carry the burden alone tonight. Turn it over to Jesus. You know, our eyes ought to be upon the Lord. Kind of get off my thought there a little bit. But when Jesus said all these things, He closed the book. And He gave it back to the one that gave it to Him. And He sat down. And the Bible says the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue, they were fastened upon Jesus. Some were fastened upon Him for curiosity. Some were fastened upon Him wondering what He was talking about. Some were fastened upon Him out of anger. But I believe there were some that were looking to Jesus because they could sense this anointing in His life. They can feel something coming from Him, and they weren't looking with all of these mixed emotions, but they were looking at Jesus because they could sense something in His life was real. They could sense that this is the Messiah. This is the one that I've been looking for. This is the one that's going to meet my need. This is the one I need in my life. Yes. Hallelujah. We ought to keep our eyes upon Him, church. You know, they would take Him out. They would take Him up to the top of a hill. They would try to shove Him over the cliff. But somehow, miraculously, He'd get away from them. So some of them weren't looking for good reasons. But we ought to keep our eyes upon Jesus tonight. Oh, you know, we ought to look and see Him as being the one that heals the broken heart. We ought to see Him as one that heals the sick bodies and all of our diseases. Praise God, the Bible said, by His stripes ye were healed. Praise God, you know, I believe we ought to try Him out once in a while. Praise God, if it doesn't come the first time, we ought to go back again. If it doesn't come the second time, we ought to go back again. Let me tell you something. You keep going to the doctor until he can maybe find an answer for you. Praise God, they look and search, and hallelujah, sometimes they don't know what's going on. But this one that's sitting on the throne of heaven knows everything about these bodies tonight. And He can bring the healing that we need tonight. Yes. Keep your eyes upon Him. Praise God. I've heard people talk about their doctors and how good their doctors are. They'll tell everybody, you need to go to this doctor. You know, that's good. If they got a good doctor, they ought to go to him. But then I've heard others talk about their doctors and say, you know, he's rotten and can't do anything. But let me tell you, Jesus will never disappoint us. And we ought to keep our eyes upon him. We ought to see the one that took his stripes, praise God, there in Pilate's judgment hall when they laid the whip upon his back and they plowed upon his back. Praise God, every stripe that was laid upon his back was for our healing. We ought to keep our eyes upon him and know what Malachi said, that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in his wings. We ought to look every once in a while and say, Lord, would you just fly my way with that healing? Would you open those wings and let that healing just kind of fall on me? Because I need your touch. Hallelujah. You see, the devil doesn't want us to know that. He wants us to sit down and just quit and just give up. How many has ever felt that way? You know, he'd like to tell us and convince us that there's no use serving God. He'd like to tell you that there's no hope for your family. But let me tell you, the Bible said they'll know the truth and the truth will set them free. The gospel message and praying for them sooner or later will touch their hearts. I believe that. You know, he said, it's not my word like a hammer. And oh, you know, it chips away and chips away and chips away until it gets to the center of that hard heart and begins to touch that heart. Hallelujah. The devil don't want you to think that your family can be saved. You know, I don't understand people anymore. I don't understand why we can't trust God. We can hop in our automobiles and turn the switch and trust that. We can go home and flip a light switch and trust that. We can, you know, open the refrigerator and hope and trust there's something in there. Why can't we trust one that's never failed? Why can't we trust one that's never changes? Why can't we trust one that proved himself over and over and over and over in our lives? How many times has he proved himself in your life? Sister Wilde proved himself just the other night when you went to the hospital. He proved himself. When Sister Bear got the call about Brother Churl, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you know something strange happened. She said that the daughter was sitting there and she was reading the Sunday school lesson to him and he began to teach it. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us, praise God, he sent his word to heal and to deliver. There's still healing in the Word of God. Jesus is the Word tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yes. We ought to believe what he says. We ought to give him praise and honor. This stuff of sitting around waiting till something happens to praise him, my God, he's worthy of praise before the answer even comes. Hallelujah. We ought to praise. We ought to lift up holy hands every once in a while and say, I'm going to praise you. Lord, my eyes are on you. My eyes are looking to you. Lord, I'm going to lift my eyes above the problem. I'm going to lift my eyes above the sickness. I'm going to lift my eyes above the trial. And I'm going to get them fastened upon you that's standing at the right hand of the Father tonight. Hallelujah. And get our eyes upon him. Oh, hallelujah. Hadn't the devil done enough? Aren't you tired of what he's doing? Aren't you tired of being defeated? Hallelujah. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Praise God. The recovering of the sight to them, to the blind. You know, Jesus has healed many blind people. He'd take and spit on the ground and make a clay and put it on a man's eyes and tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He'd do that and he'd come see him. He'd stop what he was doing when a blind man named Bartimaeus cried out to him. He'd stop in his journey and he'd say, "Bring him to me." And he'd ask him what he want. And the blind man said, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus would give him his sight back. But there's a blindness that is far worse than the physical blindness tonight. It's when we get blind to the Word of God. It's when we get blind in our faith to Jesus, the Son of God. It's when we're blind to what God can do in our life and what He can do for each one of us. When that blindness begins to come in and we can no longer get our eyes upon Him. You know what we ought to do? Sometimes my eyes get a little blurry. Now, some of you probably don't have that problem. You don't have that problem, do you, Brother Bill? I got to put these on. But every once in a while, they get blurry. I got to rub them a little bit. And you just rub them around. And Sister Bear's brought me something over there and got the little cup on it. And you pour that stuff in it. And you put it on there and you blink it and wash it. And try to get it all cleared out so you can see right. You know, sometimes that's what we ought to do in our spiritual life. If we're not seeing too clearly. If we can't see through the fog of doubt. And the fog of the trouble in our life. If we can't see past the trouble that's there. We ought to say, "Lord, just give me, praise God, some spiritual sight. Help me to see again, Lord, what You want me to see. Help me to realize, Lord, that You're still with me." Hallelujah. Praise God, that what I can't see doesn't mean that it's not there. Praise God, You are always there. Hallelujah. Remember old Elijah? Elisha. You know, he had a servant with him, and all the armies of the Syrians came down to Dothan, and they're going to take him. And oh, you know, they come, these armies come to take Elisha and to take his servant. And oh, you know, one day, Elisha got up and his servant, and the servant looked out over the walls of the city and he saw all of the enemy armies out there. And he said, "My, what are we going to do, Elisha?" He said, "There's so many out there." And oh, Elisha said, Lord, would you open his eyes that he could see." Hallelujah. And praise God, the Lord opened his eyes and he could look and he could see all the armies of God. Hallelujah. All the host of God was there, but he couldn't see him because of the doubt. You know, sometimes we can't see the answer that Jesus has for us because of the doubt. We can't see the healing because we're looking at the pain. We can't see, praise God, the answer in the soul saved because we're looking at the sin. We can't see, praise God, sometime the blessing because we're looking at the problem. My God, let's look to Jesus and see what He can do tonight. Hallelujah. He's still a mighty Savior. He's not limited tonight. Praise God. But He's not going to do what you won't let Him do. We've got to let Him work in our life. We got to believe Him. The Bible said all things are possible to him that believes. You know, we all get to that point in our life where sometimes we look at the problem and we let it get us down and we let it shake our faith. But Lord, help us to just look a little bit higher. Help us to lift our vision just a little bit more. Lord, let us look up as that one writer said, "I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help." And I'm going to be able to see the one that's going to help me. I'm going to be able to see things, praise God, that you know, I didn't realize was there. You know, just I mentioned a lot about this invisible world. You know, that God made the invisible and the visible world. Look it up and see. The Bible talks about that. And all, you know, God created, Christ created all things, the things in the earth and the things in heaven and in earth. And the Bible said, Paul said, the visible and the invisible. Praise God, just because I can't see the answer doesn't mean it's not there. Oh, Daniel prayed for 21 days. Hallelujah. You know, he kind of maybe felt a little discouraged. But when the angel of the Lord brought the answer to him, he said, I heard you, Daniel, the very first day. Hallelujah. But the prince of Persia, you see, the devil doesn't want us to get that answer. But my God, if we'll hold on, it'll come through. We'll see the answer. We'll see the faith come to reality in our life. I believe God can save people. I believe that. I don't care what the devil says. The Bible says he can save them to the uttermost. Doesn't make no difference what they're doing tonight. Doesn't make no difference if they're smoking dope and drinking beer and whiskey and whatever they're doing tonight. If somebody will believe the Lord for them, God can touch them right where they are tonight. The Holy Ghost isn't limited tonight. We can't reach out from our seats and touch them. But there's a God in heaven. The Bible said His arm is not shortened that it cannot save tonight. We don't see it, so we don't believe it. My Lord, we ought to believe it so we can see it. Hallelujah. If we can do that, we'll see some things happen. But you know, all eyes were fastened on Him. We've got our eyes on everything else today. We've got our eyes upon all the problems in this world. We've got our eyes upon the problems in our life. We've got our eyes upon everything the devil brings to entertain us with, and we've taken our eyes off of the one that's most important. That's Jesus tonight. We have to get our eyes back upon Him. He come to set them at liberty, them that are bruised. Are you bruised tonight? Have you been beaten around by the devil tonight? Is the problems gotten to you to the point that you can't smile and enjoy your life anymore? You know, the Bible tells me, praise God, that this salvation is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you know, if we're not experiencing that joy sometime in our life, then we ought to get back down to the altar and say, God, I've got a problem here. I've got a problem in my life. There's something that's keeping me from this joy. Praise God that you said is praise God, it's not joy unspeakable and full of glory. But Lord, you said this joy of the Lord would be my strength. And Lord, I need a little strength. Would you just turn it on a little bit? Would you just pour a little bit in my life? Would you just give me a little bit of that joy? Hallelujah. That I can rejoice and praise Him. Hallelujah. And enjoy this life. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we ought to have a little of that once in a while, don't you? Amen. You get joy, you get to look like this. You get all that big smile on your face. Oh, preacher, I ain't going to smile anymore. I'm just going to be mean and grouchy and grumpy, and you don't know what I go through. My Lord, I don't know what you go through, but the Lord knows. Yeah, that's right. It might be too much for you, but it's not too much for Him. There's nothing. The Bible said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Didn't He ask somebody that? Anything too hard for the Lord? You know, there's nothing too hard. If this great God of ours could speak this world into existence, and He could say, just let it be, and there it was, don't you think He can take care of our little measly problems tonight? If we just turn them over to Him. Some people enjoy problems. Uh-oh. Because they like the attention, don't they? I'd rather you didn't have the problem, because I don't like the attention that thing gets us. You know, I'd rather see God moving and doing some things. Now, I might have to lean up on one day. But, you know, I'd rather have, you know, praise God, to have the joy of the Lord, something to make me happy, something, sister, that'll put a smile on your face. Get a little happy tonight. Let God bless you. Let God touch you. You know, there's nothing too bad tonight, praise God, that God can't handle. There's nothing in your life. I don't care what it is. My God, if we'll turn it over to Jesus, He'll make a difference in the problem tonight. He'll take care of it if we'll just get to the altar. Get our hearts right with God and serve Him. Put it all under the blood. Hallelujah. And serve this mighty Savior. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Isn't He good? When are we going to learn that? You know, we'll stand up and say those things. But when are we going to learn it, what it means? And He come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. But you know, I believe right now is the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, we shouldn't wait till next year, next week, next month, or whatever to serve God. Oh, preacher, I'll wait. I'll wait till this happens. I'll wait till I can, you know, get all this money, and then I'll get happy. My Lord, I'm going to get happy whether I got money. I'm going to get happy whether the knees and the bones ache and pop and crack. I'm going to get, hey, I got one now, this big old tooth. If I didn't glue it in tonight, I'd be whistling at you tonight, but I'm just so happy I'm going to get it fixed if nothing happens on Thursday, and I'm just as happy tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. If it comes flying across the floor, would you pick it up so I can glue it back in? I'm not lying to you. But you know, God's a good God. Oh, glory. I'm going to be happy. You know, I look at some of you guys. You know, that brother Matt was here this morning, and he's a lot shinier than what I am. Somebody, Sister Bear says, it doesn't bother me that he doesn't have hair. What bothers me? But you know what? I'm just as happy. I can't look up and see it until I look in the mirror. I just stay away from the mirror as much as I can. But I'm just as happy with God tonight. I'm so glad that I'm a Christian tonight. You know, when we keep our eyes upon Jesus, it's going to make the difference in your life and in my life. Don't let things get you down. You know, I'm not saying you won't have problems and things won't happen. I understand that. I've got common sense enough to know that. You know, I wasn't so happy when we went over and had to put all that money out on Sister Bear's car, but I'm glad it's running. Because we couldn't have made it down to see Brother Gerald tomorrow if it hadn't been fixed. Cost us something, but I'm glad it's running. You know, I just thank God. I'm still happy. That didn't affect my salvation. I took some money out of the pocketbook a little bit. But you know, I thank God. I'm still happy tonight. My son and my daughter-in-law and my three grandkids are out there. They're not saved tonight. But you know, I'm happy tonight that they're not in the hospital. They're not laying down the graveyard tonight. I'm just happy tonight for what God does. I thank God tonight. You know, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, church. Keep your eyes on Him. The Bible said we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We get our eyes on everything else and we take our eyes off of Him. You know, He's coming back one day, and those that look for Him, that's who He's coming back for. We need to be looking for Jesus. He's coming back real soon. And we need to do our best to keep our eyes on Him. I'll guarantee you tonight. Now, you know, I believe it tonight. That if you look to Jesus and you lay your problems on the altar tonight, leave them there, God will take care of whatever you have in your life tonight. God will help you with that. The Bible says we cast all of our cares on Him. He didn't say go around carrying those things all the time. He didn't say go around being down all the time. How are we going to win people to salvation if we don't have enough joy for them to see what we've got? How are we going to win them to the Lord if they see us complaining all the time and see us dragging our noses on the ground and just walking around and never having any joy? My God, I'm serving a bigger Savior than that. Keep your eyes upon Him. They tried to throw him over the hill. You know, some of them that were looking at him, they, as I said, they're looking for the wrong reasons. But you know, praise God, I'm looking for better reasons. Some of them came. There came some, I believe, to one of those disciples and said, "Sir," said, "we would see Jesus." You know, they came to one of the disciples. I think it might have been Philip. I might be wrong. But there were Greeks. These were Greeks. They were, you know, they were Gentiles. And they came up to the feast of Passover, and they're coming up there to worship God. And somebody told them about Jesus. And they came to one of those disciples. And they looked at him and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Shouldn't they be able to look at him and see Jesus in the life of that disciple? You know, shouldn't they be able to look at us and see that there's something more than being burdened down with trouble, and they could see that something in us, and they could look at us and they could come and say, "Pranky Tumlin, I've come and I want to see Jesus." And all we're doing is complaining. They don't want to see Pranky Tumlin. They don't want to see Ollie Bear. They don't want to see Roger Howe. But what they want to see is what Jesus is doing in our life. Hallelujah. That they can see something real. Sister, come on, I'm going to have to finish this. God is so good to His church. And the Bible says, "And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." But listen what it says. "And all bear him witness." Nobody, I don't care what reason they were looking for him, to him, or they bear witness. And it says, "And they bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And some of them said, they said, "Is it not this Joseph's son?" He's more than the carpenter's son. You know, he's the Son of God. He's the carpenter's son in the fact that he worked there and God put him there. He's not the son of any man. He's the Son of God. He's born of a virgin birth. Joseph had nothing to do with it. But you know, some looked at him and said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" And what they're saying, would you stand with me? They're saying, we really can't believe and accept the fact of these things that He's told us. You know, that's happening so much in our churches. So many times in our churches, we hear God's Word. But when it comes to our situation, when it comes to our problem, then He's the carpenter's son. He's not the Son of God any longer. He'll always be the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. That'll never change. And sometimes we'll look at our problem and we'll say, "He can solve this person's problem here. He can help this person over here in the back. He can help somebody else, but my problem He can't handle." You know, if He was only the carpenter's son, He couldn't handle our problems. But He's not just the carpenter's son. He's the Son of the great God sitting in heaven. And Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father tonight. He's there to make intercession for you and me. And whenever we have a need, we can take it to this great Son of God. I don't know how it works in heaven, but as an intercessor, I can see Him saying, He can maybe say, "Emma Bear just came to me, and she has a problem in her life." And Jesus, say, "Father, she belongs to me. I bought her and paid for her with the blood. And Father, I need you to meet her need. I need you to touch her in some way.
And oh, I'm here to intercede for her. Oh, I'm here for Gene Gray, he might say. I'm here because he needs to be healed. He needs his speech restored. And Father, I want you to touch him and heal him. Let me tell you something, church. I believe God can do it tonight. This thing of sitting back and not ever believing God. God can do it. Jesus took stripes upon his back for our healings tonight. Oh, but my husband, my son or my daughter, oh, you know, they can't make it. But if we go to Jesus, he'll take them to God. Can you imagine that? I can't begin to comprehend, and none of us can understand everything about God. But I can see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost working together. And Jesus saying, hey, one of mine just said, Father, that they've got somebody that needs to be saved. And the Father looks over to the Holy Ghost and says, go down there and touch that heart. And oh, hallelujah. God begins to draw them to an altar of prayer. And you know where he draws them right back to? He draws them back to the one that we need to keep our eyes upon, to Jesus. He brings them right to Jesus. And oh, the Savior, would you come tonight? If you have a need tonight, if you have a problem, a burden, if you have someone on your heart tonight, would you bring it and just get your eyes upon Jesus and say, Lord, here it is. I'm bringing it to you tonight, Jesus. I'm bringing it to you. And I believe in you tonight. Oh, hallelujah.